to go peeking through my window. No ringing of the clock and no tick tock, tick tock. Breakfast in bed, looking good with bed head. Straight out of the gate, it's a good day, no debate. And every night I lift my pen, these words I write. Your love was the best part of my day. Your love was the best part of my day. I don a smile, put it on to lift my style. Wear it all around, cause it looks finer than a frown. Out on the street, I'm skipping to my own beat. You see it in my toes, but it's from my heart that it flows. And every night by candlelight, these words I write. Your love was the best part of my day. Your love was the best part of my day. I'll never put it in a box or tie you with a bow. You've gotta let your love breathe if you're wanting it to grow. I'll never throw it to the curb or toss it to the side, cause your love is better than the others that I've tried. Catch the train, never waiting in the rain. And yes, I was the girl that Katie kissed on the lips. Check out my skills, rich with no dollar bills. Happiness is here, cause I'm living life with no fear. And every night, whether you're in or out of sight, your love was the best part of my day. Your love was the best part of my day. Your love was the best part of my day. Your love was the best part of my day. Your love was the best part of my day. Your love was the best part of my day. Your love was the best part of my day. Your love was the best part of my day. Your love.
That was Coco Love Alcon with a track from her 2011 album Best Part of My Day, and it's my great pleasure to welcome Coco to Folk Roots Radio live from Folk Music Ontario. We have a little mobile studio set up. Some people would say it's just a hotel room with a microphone, but it's actually a lot more sophisticated than that.
It's a hotel room with two microphones.
Exactly. It's great to have you join us today. I've seen you on stage so many times playing by yourself or playing with other people. We come to a conference like this where there are so many different people from across Ontario, but also other provinces in Canada and even outside of Canada. It's a great networking place, but it's a great place to have fun. Why do you like coming to a festival like this? I mean, why do you like coming to it?
Conference.
That was the second time in a week. I was doing somebody's CD release a few weeks ago, and I said, thanked everybody for coming to the festival when I realized it was just a CD release. Why do you like coming to a conference like this?
You said it right in there with the little slip of the tongue when you said festival. As a solo artist, I tour a bunch, and you run into some people here and there. You get put on a bill together, that sort of thing. But really, you're having that intimate connection with yourself and the audience each night. And even for bands, you tour together, but you've got your show and you do your thing. You go to a festival, and you get to work with 30 other artists and hang out with 30 other different bands, and, you know, might be 100 musicians there, and it feels like a little community. And then a conference like this is just, it's an explosion. It feels like a quadruple festival or something like that. And I was just saying to somebody a couple of weeks ago how that high you get, that inspiration, the mojo you get from playing festivals in the summer that was just starting to like dip down a little, like, you know, you just, that's turning to fall and you're remembering the festival season. And then you get to come here to the FMO conference. And I don't know, it feels like summer camp, but for musicians. And there's beauty in this community. You know, you see friends from all across Canada here, and you get to see, oh my gosh, you know so-and-so, how do you know them? And you get to see people meeting for the first time, and you meet new people, and I don't know, it's a beautiful thing.
So when I do these interviews, I like to start talking about why you decided to make music your career. And as I understand it, you have a pretty interesting life, because, I mean, at least one of your parents is heavily involved in music, is that right?
Yeah, my dad, his name is John Alcorn. He lives in Toronto and he's a professional musician. He's done a number of things over the years, but he sings jazz standards. He teaches lessons. He produces albums. He's a musical director for different shows and music productions. And he's a songwriter. And he's written songs for plays and for artists. And he's lovely. And he's a true appreciator of the craft of songwriting, but he's not just somebody that squirrels himself away studying the craft. He also really understands connecting with an audience. And to me, he's a really classy performer, because when he gets on stage, it feels like he's the host of a dinner party and he wants to make sure everybody feels comfortable and invited to take part in the shared experience. So I've learned a lot from him over the years. That's my dad, yes.
So I imagine did you grow up in a very musical household? Is that how it was?
So my mom and dad were teenagers when they had me. And my dad, his household was very musical. His sister and all his brothers also do music. They're from Nova Scotia. My mom's side of the family, she had 5 brothers and 5 sisters. And some of them are musicians. Some of them are actors and actresses. Some of them do other things. They're writers, poet writers, novel writers, that sort of thing, and a dental hygienist. And they split up when I was 2. And my family kind of ended up spread all across Canada, BC, Ontario, Nova Scotia. My mom was in Vancouver. My dad was in Toronto. Lots of people, cousins, still in Nova Scotia. I spent my whole childhood kind of bouncing around between the 3, Vancouver, Toronto, and Nova Scotia. And I feel the roots of all of those in me. It's pretty incredible.
So when did your own musical awakening start then? Was that because, I mean, obviously I imagine when you went to your father's family, there was music around all the time, but did you experience it in the other areas? So, you know, what was it in your life that really let that little flame light? You know, where was it?
There are multiple flames, and there's probably multiple flames from the different places and the different communities I linked into in those places. But there's also multiple flames from the different genres of music that I immersed myself in when I was growing up. Like, I love Chaka Khan and Donnie Hathaway and Aretha Franklin and Stevie Wonder and all these amazing soul artists. But I also love, you know, some incredible jazz artists and folk singer-songwriters and some electronic artists and people mashing them all together. And I'm always trying to figure out how to stay true to myself when myself is drawn to so many different things.
So did you actually go to school for music then?
I did. I went to Berklee College of Music in Boston when I was 17. And I did a semester there. And then I left and I came back to Vancouver. And I just started gigging at the age of 18, singing jazz standards. I did, I don't know, maybe 3 years of singing jazz standards in cafes in Vancouver. It was really, really fun. I got to work with some amazing musicians. And then I went to Bangkok, Thailand with a cover pop funk band and did that. And then I moved back to Canada and I had bought a guitar in Thailand and I started writing some angsty folk songs. And I got a demoing deal with BMG and I moved back to Toronto and I was doing the folk thing. And then I ended up touring across Canada a bunch of times, singing backing vocals with 5440, a rock band. And then I did some co-writing with Chin and Jetty and did some R&B and hip-hop stuff for a while. And yeah, and then I released a couple of electronica projects, got a bunch of those placed on TV shows. And the last 8 years, I've been presenting this acoustic mashup of soul, R&B, folk, pop kind of stuff.
I guess, when you tell me all about that, I think the only thing's missing is a Christmas hit. You haven't written one of those yet.
I started writing a Christmas song, but I didn't get very far. Yeah. I wanted to write a Christmas song about, you know, that Buy Nothing Day? Yeah. I wanted to write a Christmas song about, it'll be a Buy Nothing Christmas for me this year.
There may be a lot of legs in that song.
Yeah.
You know, the fascinating thing about all of this experience you've had, I mean, you basically sung so many different types of music. You're clearly adept at doing that, because every time we go to a festival, we can see you not just singing as part of your own sets, but actually singing backup for other people, but also in a variety of different styles. You mentioned
it's my favorite thing, or one of my favorite things, is to find myself so fully immersed in the moment. It's like a puzzle that you're having to solve, but while the clock is ticking, you can't just sit there and take your time. You have an audience waiting, and you have a band jamming, and the next note that you sing informs the choice that every other musician makes on stage about what they're going to do next. And everything that they do informs the next choice you make. And it's so exciting.
Do you think you also don't like to be pigeonholed, that you like all of these different experiences, you like to be Coco Lavalcon? You don't necessarily want to be somebody who is classically regarded as, you know, a folk singer-songwriter,
right,
or, you know, R&B or jazz. You actually want to float and move between those genres.
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I hadn't thought about that before. I don't think that it's so much that I would dislike having a more focused, streamlined, easy to put in one sentence sound and direction, but it's just never worked out that way for me. I am drawn to all those things, and I enjoy all those things. I think as I'm getting older, I'm starting to, you know, looking to the future, my albums will become more cohesive. Like, this album is this. I'm going to, you know, it's going to be this kind of sound. The songs are going to be about this. The next album, I can do something different. But festivals afford me that opportunity to go and present what I'm currently, you know, wanting to present. But you're right. Get this incredible opportunity to collaborate with all these different people doing different things. And that's how I can satisfy all the other little, you know, interests that percolate in me, you know?
You brought your ukulele with you today. And one of the things I love about festivals is watching you play the ukulele and sing, because it seems to me that often it'll be the ukulele and you, or perhaps with an accompaniment. I think I've seen you with Drew MacIver, accompanying on guitar. Would you play for us today?
Sure, yeah. Sure. Yeah, okay. I'll sing you a song that I just wrote in the spring. It's called The River. And I wrote it actually on my looper. I have a 5-track looper, and I've been doing a lot of writing on that recently. I'm writing an album of non-denominational spiritual songs. And I'm writing on the looper because it's fun to get away from ukulele and guitar and just see what happens with just the voice. I'm trying to create that old gospel sound of a whole bunch of voices and some body percussion. But here we go. I'll play it on ukulele because I got a ukulele in my hand. The river is a healer. The river is a sage. The river knows no end, and the river feels no age. The river is a leader every single day. It's living in the moment, and it always finds a way. Water heal my body, water heal my soul. When I go down, down to the water, by the water I feel whole. The river calls me over, it's calling up my name. In the day and in the night, I hear that river all the same. It's calling me over, calling up my pain. Oh, a river gathers tears just like a river gathers rain. Water heal my body, water heal my soul. When I go down, down to the water, by the water I feel whole. The river is a traveler, always on the go. Oh, a river never worries if it's fast or if it's slow. River, take me to where I need to go, and I will just relax and let the river flow. Water heal my body, water heal my soul. When I go down, down to the water, by the water I feel whole. Water heal my body, water heal my soul. When I go down, down to the water, by the water I feel whole. Water heal my body. When I go down, down to the river, by the water I feel whole.
You're listening to Folk Roots Radio. I'm Jan Hall. We're at the Folk Music Ontario Conference. My guest today is Coco Love Alcorn. She's working on a new album, which is the album titled a series of non-dimensional.
Non-dimensional? Are you ready for lunch?
I don't know. It's that afternoon.
Yeah.
The album is, what would, tell
I'm
me.
I'm not sure of the title yet. I applied for a grant. I just got an OAC grant, by the way, to do some exploratory recording, figuring out the sound for the new record for this project. So on the grant application, the project title was New Spirituals. So just songs for and of the spirit, not tied to any specific religion.
So it's
or
an
faith.
Album of
non-denominational spiritual songs.
Non-denominational. You know, you probably think, oh my gosh, she's terrible at the radio. Non-denominational.
Oh, goodness, no.
Spirituals. And yeah. That was the river. That was very beautiful.
Remember, I'm somebody that loves the moment. So these are all just moments. Yeah. Oh,
that's good. Because no we're all going to be on the cutting room floor. Chop, chop, chop.
Yeah. However you say the words, it's just moments. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's great. So this album you're working on just now, do you know when it'll be released?
I would guess spring. But it could go fast and it could take longer. I've got a few different ideas in my head of how I could approach it. So I'm going to try those ideas on and see which one feels right. And then, you know, then I'll make a record.
Now, it's interesting when you talk about living in the moment, because your shows are very much like that as well. One of the exciting things about a Coco Love Alcorn show is the fact that it is very spontaneous, that you... may feel to get the audience involved. It is a show that tends to encourage audience participation. Is that just because you're generally a playful spirit that you like to have fun, whatever you're doing?
Possibly. I don't know. I love that, you know, the relationship you have as a performer with the audience. And then when there are other people on stage, you have a relationship with them as well. And when you're leading a moment, say you're singing the lead vocals, or maybe you're playing the sax solo. I don't play sax, but as a sax player, you know, there's the time you sit in the background playing the horn parts. There's that time you step up front into the limelight and you are, you know, guiding the energy for that moment. And you become the conduit between everybody else on stage and everybody in the audience. You're the connection point, and you take all that energy that people are giving you and you take people somewhere. You're all going on a journey together. And to me, it feels like a spiritual experience. I think music is incredibly conducive for being a place where we can connect with our spirits. And sometimes it's hard to find those places. It's, you know, I think a lot of people identify these days, I'm speaking very generally, there's lots of people involved in lots of different faiths and religions, but there's also a lot of people that say, I'm a spiritual person. You know, I like to try to get to know my spirit and find those times in nature with friends. I like to find those moments where I connect with my spirit, but I'm not a member of any specific faith or religion. I meet a lot of people in that boat. I'm in that boat. And when you're in that boat, you don't have a community to explore your spirit with in the same way you would if you were in a religion, you know, a member of a religion. And I think music is a place where I see people doing that already. People are connecting and being inspired and having spiritual moments at concerts. A hip hop concert, like, oh my gosh, that kick drum, the way the sound man has that kick drum dialed in is so FHAT. It's so fat. And I feel my body vibrating. You can have a spiritual experience just listening to the sound of a kick drum. And I don't know, I'm excited to write these songs and make this record and then go and present these songs to people. And you know, you were talking about audience participation. I want to find a way to do these shows and do these songs in a way that makes people feel invited and excited to take part and sing along in the choruses, but not be up on stage demanding that of them and making it feel like work and not making it feel like I'm a kindergarten teacher saying, come on, guys, let's all sing along now. I just want people to feel like it and feel welcome to join in if they are feeling it.
It's funny because that kind of reminds me of a Coco Lavalcon show, because you do tend to encourage people.
Which part? Come on, kids, let's sing along.
Well, you know, it's funny. When I first met you, I thought, oh, yeah, she must be a, you know, whether you had a background in teaching or doing workshops, because my sense is that you're very suited to encouraging people to get involved in music as a form of expression. I kind of like the idea of these shows where maybe people will be encouraged to bring a drum or encourage bring something to get some music out of, and somehow you'll be able to bring them into the experience.
You know what it is? I've never actually thought about this before, but just as we're talking here right now, I'm thinking there are times I have been in a band, in a project, where you have a very specific set that you want to do and very specific arrangements. And in that case, audience participation in the wrong spot could throw you off, could be inappropriate, could derail what you're trying to do. But for me, a lot of performances that I do these days, I'm very flexible to let it be pulled in different directions. And it makes it more fun for me because I've heard my own songs a million times and I don't want to get bored of me. So if something happens to pull it in a different direction, I will go down that path with you. I would love to. Let's see where that path leads. I've already heard this song the way I wrote it or the way I recorded it, you know? So let's find this song in the moment. So yeah, I think when you invite other musicians to collaborate with you or the audience members to get involved, then you open it up for you yourself to be surprised in your own material. And that's exciting. And it's not that that happens at every moment at every show, but it's just that I like the energy of that possibility being there. And then it happens in certain moments. You still get through full songs. People still hear what you do, but then there's those moments where it travels somewhere else that's unique to that moment.
And that reminds you very much of the festival experience when you're in that workshop where it's not unusual for you to be on stage with people you may be aware of, but maybe you haven't spent much time at all.
Yeah, like blind dates. Yeah, you can be on stage with, you know, six or seven different people and it's like, oh my gosh, Johnny, I've known you for 15 years. I haven't seen you since, you know, White Horse 10 years ago. And, you know, somebody else, oh my gosh, JD. And then you're meeting people for the very first time and then you do your line checks and then bam, you do a show together.
Well, that's right. And then people always say that's, you know, the workshops are where the magic happens. That's certainly those of us who love going to festivals, we want to go to that workshop that has people who you think, oh, I think Coco will play very well with that person. Mm-hmm. I think, oh, that's going to be an interesting dynamic. We want to go and see what that dynamic's like. Now, this new album, you mentioned the use of a looper. Is this an album that's going to be very much you, or are you planning to bring other musical collaborators into it with you?
I'm exactly at that crossroads right now. A lot of the songs have been written with the looper. Part of me is drawn to the idea of recording these songs with just multi-tracked voice. Like the one I just did, on the looper, it starts with the bass line. I go, and then, you know, you get the harmonies layering over top. Water heal my body. And I've got some ooze that come in. You can build this whole thing, this whole sonic landscape with just voices. And it's fun to do that live. Is that the way it should be on the album? I'm toying around with that idea, but ultimately, I'll probably end up bringing in a really awesome band because then I can be surprised on my own songs. I can see what they bring to it. And if it's a spirit record, maybe there should be multiple spirits involved in making the music. And then, you know, let's see where that goes.
You know, it sounds to me as if they should be both, because I'd love to hear the Coco.
That's what I want to do.
The band version.
I was thinking about taking 8 songs and doing a double album. It's the band version and the just me, my voice, body percussion, ukulele. Is that what I should do? Should we make the decision right here?
I think that would be a phenomenal album. And, you know, bearing in mind, it's not that much more expensive to double up on the CD. The packaging pretty much will be the same. I think from the point of view...
And I could hire myself pretty cheaply to do the solo version.
But people that are buying that album, I think it makes it a much more intriguing prospect. Yeah. And obviously also you have that benefit when you go to a show when it's going to be a Coco show or it's going to be a Coco and band show.
Mm-hmm.
You get a chance to know what both experiences are like. Yeah. I think it would be great.
That's a really good idea. I had been toying around with the idea of the double album, but just what you just said there is like a really sweet justification, because if somebody sees me at a solo show and they take home the album, they can hear a taste of what it might be like to come see the full band show and vice versa. So they kind of get they get the fuller picture. Yeah.
I'll take my percentage later.
As a marketing strategy.
Let's play another song. What are you going to play for us now?
I didn't think that far ahead.
But you could just strum the ukulele, because I love the sound of a ukulele anyway.
I haven't thought that far ahead. I've got a song called Wonderland. Again, it's one of these looper songs, and I have all these backing vocals that come in as answer lines to the lead melody in the chorus. I've never actually done it without having either the looper doing that or a whole bunch of people in the audience that I trained to sing the backing vocal parts. But maybe I'll try it. All right, let's try it. Here we go. The moment. There is joy here on earth. Oh, joy in every handful of dirt. There is joy in the simple things. When I look up at the sky and clouds are slowly drifting by, this can give my spirit wings. Oh, I believe I'm living in a wonderland, and all I need I already have. There is joy surrounding me. When I'm looking with my heart, beautiful is all I see. Oh, joy, I find joy in all the good people I know. And I still have life to live, and I still have love to give. And I believe beyond the day I go, I believe, oh yes I do, I believe I'm living in a wonderland, living in a wonderland. And all I need, oh yes I do, I believe I already have. Ooh, oh yes I do, I believe, oh I'm living in a wonderland. Oh yes I do, I believe, oh what I need is what I have. Doom, doom, doom.
That's wonderful. I think it's going to be a fantastic album. I can't wait to hear how it turns out. I love the idea of the, you know, having the band versions and the two. I think that would be awesome.
That was very much an arrangement of the moment. I was like, okay, I'm going to have the bass line for the looper version and then the uke version, and then I'll bring in the backing vocal parts at the end.
Yeah, no, it's great. Well, you know, one of the things I love about talking to you is how much fun you are. And I think that really comes through when you're in performance. I want to give you a chance just to tell people how they can learn more about your music.
Okay, well, my name is, I think I'm the only one in the world with my name. I can't for sure say that, but my name is Coco Love Alcorn, CocoLoveAlcorn. And if you Google that, there's Twitter, which I really haven't been updating enough. My website, which is also sorely out of date because I'm really locked in the room in songwriter mode right now. But I'm also on Facebook. I'm fairly present on Facebook. YouTube, I should be loading some stuff up there again soon. So I'm very findable. I'm on Wiki. I'm findable.
You are, and you're a staple on the festival circuit. I mean, that's what I regard you.
Yeah,
if I don't
find
see you at
summers.
Least one festival in the summer, there's something wrong.
There you go. Yeah, I'm findable. Yeah, I'm findable. Please come find me and say hi. Yeah.
That's great. I wanted to thank you for spending the time with us today. I'd like to play another song from one of your albums.
Sure.
What would you like us to finish with?
Well, let's get crazy here. Off of Joyful, let's play the title track, Joyful. I don't know if this has had any love on any radio station ever, but
deserves some.
But it was a non-denominational spiritual song that I wrote 6 years ago. And when I decided to do this project of non-denominational spirituals, like just 6 months ago, I decided to do this project, I realized that the last 20 years, I had been occasionally writing them and peppering each album with one or two. So that theme has always been there, kind of trying to find the ways of connecting with my spirit and connecting with other people on that level. Yeah.
That's a perfect way to finish. This is Coco Love Alcorn. From the album Joyful, we're going to listen to the title track. I'm Jan Hall. You've been listening to a wonderful Folk Roots Radio with Coco Love Alcorn, live from Folk Music Ontario. We'll see you next time. That was lovely.
That was fun.
Yeah. Well, always have the ukulele.
Okay.
Thanks again.
Yay.
If a star falls and it kisses your face, let the light invite you like a lover's embrace. And if the shadows touch you, let them leave no trace. You got to keep on keeping on. There's nothing wrong with being happy and joyful. Keep on
keeping on. Find a way and decide to stay joyful. If the night brings an electrical start, then let the rain sing as the sky falls apart. And if the silence finds you, speak the words in your heart. You got to keep on keeping on. There's nothing wrong with being happy and joyful.